You're listening to Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari, where NFL legends live on. Back to you, boys.
It's him. He's alive.
All right, now back in making his 12th appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate, his former Miami Dolphins Pro Bowl left tackle and TNT guest Hall of Famer, Richmond Webb. Let me remind you about Richmond's background. He's from Dallas, Texas, played his college ball at Texas A&M, where he was named All-Southwestern Conference in 1989. He was a team captain that season and the winner of the Aggie Heart Award. He was a part of two Southwestern Conference championships teams back in 1986 and 87. He's a first-round draft pick, the ninth overall selection by the Miami Dolphins in 1990. Played left tackle in the league from 1990 to 2002 for the Dolphins and the Bengals. Set a Miami Dolphins record with 118 consecutive starts. Now, folks, as an offensive lineman now, then to give you some frame of reference, that means he did miss a start for 7 1/3 seasons. Selected to 7 consecutive Pro Bowls from 1990 to 96. He was named the Offensive Rookie of the Year for the AFC in 1990. Named to the NFL's All-Decade Team for the 1990s, inducted into the Dolphins Hall of Honor in 2006, into our guest Hall of Fame in 2017. And as Bob said earlier tonight, and we've been saying for years, what's keeping this man out of the Pro Football Hall of Fame is a mystery to us, but we are very honored to have him back again with us this week on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Richmond, Chris, and Bob, how are you, my friend?
Okay. Hey, Chris, Bob, how y'all doing? 12 times. It doesn't seem like I've been on that many times. I guess we'd be having so much fun. I heard you say that, Chris, and I was like, has it been that many times? But I always have a blast on the show, and you guys do a great job. So thanks for having me on again. I definitely appreciate it.
We appreciate you, my friend. So, Richmond, it's been a crazy year. It's been a crazy 2020. How have you been staying safe? What have you been doing so far this year?
You know, and I haven't done much. I think this threw a monkey wrench in everybody's program. One of the things I did start doing was doing a little gardening, mainly in containers and stuff like that. So I'm just sitting at home all the time, you know, because if you really don't have to go out, they kind of urge that, you know, you wear your mask and social distance and stuff like that. So I've really spent a lot of time at home, but just got bored. And first things I did was had some citrus trees like lemon and lime. And then I did a little container gardening experiment with some tomatoes and bell peppers. And I actually kind of enjoyed it. And it kind of took my mind off, I guess, just being at home. You know, all the time. There's nothing wrong with being at home, but when it seems like they're telling you you need to be at home, it seems like every other thing hits your mind that you could be doing something else. And but that's what I've been doing. I still watch football. Hadn't been to any Aggie or Miami games, but just watching TV and doing stuff like that. So it's definitely been a change, but I was glad to hear about they just came up with something to combat the COVID. The vaccine. I couldn't come up with the word. I got stuck. But yeah, the vaccine's coming out, and I know some people got concerns, but hopefully it works as good as what they're saying. So I'm excited about that.
So Richmond, I gotta believe you're feeling pretty good about your Dolphins this season, even after, you know, losing a close game this past weekend against the Chiefs, because boy, their defense is playing so well. And perhaps, you know, if you had an opportunity, they got an opportunity to play the Chiefs again. Who knows? But what are your thoughts about what you've seen from your Dolphins this season?
You know, for this to be the second year of a major rebuild, and you know, that's why I tell some of the fans, I tweet sometime on Sundays, you know, going back and forth with, you know, the fans, stuff like that. But for us to win 8 games and this be the second year, and then, you know, I thought we played well, but, you know, Kansas City's one of the best teams in the NFL. And I think every now and then you can use a game like that for a measuring stick. But the way our defense played and disrupted their offense, that was definitely encouraging. And I know we're not there. We still need a player or two here and there, but we're definitely headed in the right direction. So it's a great time to be a Dolphin fan. I'm excited and love Coach Flores and what he's doing down there. And, you know, the guys have bought in and they're playing together as a unit. And that's very exciting and encouraging to see.
What's your assessment of Tua so far? And were you surprised that they made the switch to him after six games?
I was surprised. I'll be honest with you, because everything was going so well with Fitzpatrick. And I always thought that would just give him more time, because they say he had recovered from the hip injury or whatever. But if you're winning and he's learning, I just kind of looked at it was no need to rush it. But I guess he had been making progress, or they really seen some things that they were really excited about. And, you know, you're not privy to that when you're not at practice and stuff all the time. But I remember him in Alabama and, great quarterback, you know, great career there, this and that. So, I'm sure he was very impressive in practice, and they decided to make the decision to, go with him. I mean, it still worked out well. I think he's learned on the job, and you can see that they're continually adding a little bit more and more to his plate. The offense is opening up a little bit more and more, which is a good thing for him as a young rookie. He can still learn. And when you got a great defense like that, it's not a lot of pressure on a young quarterback to say, hey, we need you to go out and score, you know, 30 points a game, every game, to force to win. So I think it's a great situation, and they can bring him along slow, and then, you know, he kind of gets his feet wet and continue to play the way he plays. I'm really excited. I really like Tua.
And Richmond, as a left tackle, when you've got a young quarterback, is there added pressure for you as an offensive lineman, knowing that it's probably going to take him a little bit longer? He's going to hold the ball a little bit longer. His reads aren't going to come as fast as a veteran quarterback. Do you feel the added pressure of needing to hold your block longer when you've got a rookie back there?
Yeah, you know, I felt pressure, you know, blocking for Dan, because, you know, he was already, you know, he was Mr. South Florida. So that was pressure me, because you don't want to get a guy like that hurt. But I agree with you, Chris. As a young quarterback, I think the most important thing, and I've seen it with other quarterbacks, is you don't want to put them in a position where they're continually getting sacked or hit all the time. I think it really retards their development. And some of them never seem like they become the player that they truly could have, because they've been hit too much early on, especially as a rookie, because you got to adjust to the speed of the game and all that. And if every time you drop back, you're looking to try to cover up or you know, brace yourself for a hit, you're not focused on, you know, going through your progressions as a quarterback or relaxing and trying to learn the offense. So it's very important that you protect the young quarterback, let him get his feet up under, let him get his confidence and stuff like that. So that's vitally important. Yeah, I would definitely say so.
Final questions for Richmond?
Yeah, Richmond, it's great to hear your voice. We think of you often, and we wish you and your family continued good health, my friend, and hope you've been well. But you had mentioned Coach Flores, Richmond. From what you've seen and the people maybe you've talked to, we know he's a Belichick disciple, but what do you think, has he done really well, and what's making him such a coveted good coach right now?
You know, Bob, you know, that's a great question. You know, you hear about him, and I had heard things, but last year they played in Dallas, and so I drove up to Dallas and actually had a chance to meet him before the game on the sideline, and I was highly impressed with him. And, you know, everybody, some of the people I talked to in the front office and stuff, they was like, I'm telling you, this is the guy. We got our coach. You know, we went through several of them, but they said everybody just felt really good. And once I met him, I could tell just by his attitude, the way he carried himself, this and that. But I think what was impressive to me was I saw guys buying into his system, and they started to trust him. And I've never really been through a rebuild, but mentally, you know, the way the season started off, losing all those games, not even being competitive in some of the early games, but continuing to go out there and fight and play to the end of every game, that showed that they had bought into the process. of what he was trying to accomplish there. And it started to pay dividends the second half. You know, they start winning a couple games this and that, and they ended up winning five games, which I didn't expect them to win, you know, considering everything that they had done, you know, traded away Laramie Tunsil, you know, which was a cornerstone left tackle. He was really coming into his own. So you see moves like that, but that was the thing that sold me on. And I just look at the way the players play for him, and it seems like everybody puts the team first. It's not about individual statistics or, you know, somebody pouting because they didn't get enough touches or the football or whatever. So those are things I kind of look for or try to pay attention to. And they have great team chemistry. And it doesn't matter. It seems like it doesn't matter who they play. They expect to win. And even if they don't win, they don't let it just, you know, shake them. They get ready and they kind of bounce back the next week. So I've been highly impressed with Coach Flores. And those are some of the things that impressed me about that young man.
Richmond, we talked to Todd Washington last week, a new member of our Hall of Fame, and we're just talking about the offensive linemen in general, how athletic they are. A guy like yourself, you know, 6'6", well over 300 pounds. And Todd always said, you can't play in that league unless you can shuffle well, quick feet and everything. And then we got on the topic of, you know, how do you come like that? How can you? Can you train like that? Are you born with quick feet? I mean, your thoughts on that, Richmond, and what did you do back in the day to keep those the quickness that offensive linemen truly need?
Yeah, you know, that's, and this is my personal take on it, but I think sports have changed, you know, as I've gotten older. And one of the things that I think you have to have some God-given ability, this and that, but I think one of the things that definitely helped develop my skill set as far as quick feet, stuff like that, is that I played basketball in high school. And we would have drills where, you know, now everybody's a guard in basketball, but in high school, I was a center or, you know, a low post. And we would have drills where they would have two guys come down and I would be the guy in the middle, and you had to learn to shuffle back and forth and try to keep those two guys from shuffling, which was hard, but it forced you to keep, you know, good bend in your knees, you know, in your hips, shuffle left, right. And you had to, you know, just kind of react this and that. And I've always thought that playing, you know, multiple sports or different sports, it trains different muscles and stuff like that, that truly, I think, help you develop, no matter what sport you play. Like, I think for, like, quarterbacks, a lot of times receivers and defensive backs, you know, guys that play baseball, if you're a pitcher, you learn how to, you know, kind of throw the ball a bit more accurate. But if you're playing baseball, especially in the outfit, you kind of learn how to judge the ball in the air. So that really compliments you if you're a receiver or a defensive back. And I would always talk, even teammates like O.J. McDuffie, I know he played baseball, and I used to sit back there sometime and watch him when they would catch punts. And I tried to do that. I never could judge the ball right. I would either be too far up, and then next thing it starts coming down, and I had to try to back. I was like, man, it would be a disaster if I had to try to catch punts and return them. But I just have so much respect for that bit. I still believe to this day, you know, things have become so more specialized training for just one individual sport. But I think sometimes if you can play more than one sport, it definitely helps you in the long run.
Richmond, we had Randy McMichael also on the show last week. He's another one of our new guest Hall of Famers. And Randy was saying essentially that there are no moral victories, whether it's for the Dolphins or for anybody else, because you know, you can't bank on winning in the future. If you've got a chance to win, you got to win now. You know, you owe it to the, you know, the older veterans. And you know, you got free agency, you got injuries, all those things can crop up and get in your way of the ability to, you know, say, hey, look, Miami, if they ended up the season and didn't make the playoffs, but got themselves to 10 wins, you know, you say, well, that's pretty good. You know, we got a rookie quarterback. you know, we're young, we've got years to go. But again, all of those things can crop up and derail, you know, next season. You can't bank on the future, in other words. Do you feel, is that true? I mean, do you really, do teams owe it to the veteran players and to, hey, we're close now, we don't know what's going to happen in the future, we've got to go all out and win now? Or do you need to be patient and let things play out?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think if, you know, with the Dolphins, I think they're adding pieces to the puzzle to, and you can see the progression as far as, you know, drafting the right players, and those players they're drafting in the first, second, and third round are actually being guys that's coming in producing, and they're getting production out of. What hurts is when you draft guys really high, and then they come out and they don't pan out like the Dolphins gonna do. But that's a great question, because I can remember, I think it was I want to say 1995, and we had like about 16, 17 first rounders on the team. Some of them, you know, acquired through trade, or, you know, some through draft, whatever, but really had high expectations, but we had a bunch of injuries and it never worked out. You know, everything looks good at the start of the season, but injuries and other kind of factors, you lose a guy here and there and it can just derail the whole season. So you can't say, well, last year we got close to the Super Bowl, and, you know, next year when we come back, this is going to happen, because you just don't know. Every season is different, and you got to try to maximize that opportunity to say, if you got an opportunity to go out and win it, then you got to do it. But you got to be smart. That's why I say, in a situation, you don't want to risk that at a young player's career, you know, put him in a situation where he could, you know, hurt himself, or, you know, could be career ending for a young player, something like that. But you just don't know. That's why, you know, you go out and play each game and try to do the best you can and win as many as you can. And then once the playoffs start, you know, it's, you know, win or go home. So we always looked at it, take one game at a time, and we'll see how we end up. But that's the way I approach the game.
Richmond, Bob and I were talking a little bit at the top of the show. When you look at the AFC East now, obviously Buffalo is playing really, really well. The Dolphins are exceeding expectations, and the Patriots are 6-7. And it seems like we're getting back to the way the division was when you were in the league. Dolphins and Bills may be fighting it out for the next few years, and the Patriots may be a team closer towards the middle or the bottom of the pack. Are you excited, and are you seeing sort of the same sort of thing kind of replay itself looking back over the time you were in Miami?
Yeah, you know, I look at it the same way. And, you know, I think, Buffalo drafted a young quarterback, Josh Allen.
That's right.
Yeah. Got him, but they acquired, like, and that kind of surprised me that the Vikings traded Stephon Diggs. But, I mean, you get a guy like that, you know, they built the defense playing extremely well, like Miami. But you get a receiver like that can stretch the field and make those big plays and stuff like that. And you got a quarterback that's gotten seasoned now, you know, after a few years in the league, and they're really playing well. So I can definitely see that happening. It seems like they're just a little notch ahead of us right now, but I think it's going to get back to the old days where we used to have those division rivalries and battles, to where, you know, you had to make sure you tried to win as many in the division, because we used to beat up on each other. But I definitely see the old Dolphins Buffalo Bills rivalry seem like it's about to rear its head again. So I'm looking forward to that.
Bob, one more for Richmond before we let him go.
Yeah, sure, Richmond. With all the times we've spoken to you, you know, it's hard to keep track. That we don't want to double up on the questions we ask, but I'm not sure if I've ever asked you, since when you started playing lineman at A&M, and possibly even before you got to the NFL, were there players like offensive linemen or just professional athletes in general that you really looked up to, Richmond?
Yeah, you know, when I guess the model that was set for me for his offensive tackle. I'd first say Anthony Munoz, looked up to him, and also Jackie Slater that played for the Rams. Those were two guys that just first come to mind, and actually met both of them. I knew Anthony because I met him my rookie year. We played the Pro Bowl together, and then had an opportunity to meet Jack Slater a couple of years ago when I did the draft for the Dolphins. And, you know, anytime, you know, you have respect for guys like that that's paved the way and set the example and been professional, not just on the field, but off the field, and continue to carry themselves in a way that, you know, people respect them. You know, that's something that I've always looked up to. And, those two guys were the first two that came to my mind. But, I've always, you know, been big fans. I can remember Walter Payton. I was a big fan of his. Just, you know, guys that really played the game well. And when I was in high school, Reggie White visited my high school. So he was really early in his career in the NFL. But, you know, you actually had a chance to meet the minister of defense. So, you know, meeting guys like that definitely makes an impact on you. And when you meet guys like that, and I'll say that, you know, they're more down to earth, or really interact with you, seem like they genuinely care about you, I think it really makes an impression on people. So I've always appreciated that. And that's something that I've taken, that I've learned from guys like that, and try to, you know, when I meet people, try to treat them the same way, because you just never know how it impacts somebody, and maybe it can be something that can uplift them or encourage them to continue to do what they're doing. So those are two guys that stick out in my mind right there.
Richmond, real quick before we let you go, got to get a quick thought on your Texas A&M Aggies at 7-1 and one game left against Tennessee coming up on Saturday and ranked fifth in the playoff rankings. If they go on and beat Tennessee, regardless of who loses between Notre Dame and Clemson in the ACC championship, do your Aggies then belong in the top four?
Yes. If you ask me, I say yes. I think if Notre Dame wins, it gives us a more for sure chance, because Clemson would have two losses. If Clemson beats Notre Dame. Yeah, the only knock that the Aggies would have against them is that they didn't play in a conference championship. I think they deserve a shot, but that's the only thing I could see, that if Clemson, if Notre Dame beats Clemson, I think that almost guarantees a spot, if you ask me. But if Clemson beats Notre Dame, I don't know how they're going to look at it. They might say, well, yeah, they might only bump them one spot and they still be in the top four. So that's the only thing. So I'll be watching plenty of football this weekend. Definitely the Aggies, but I'll watch Florida, Alabama, and definitely watch Clemson and Notre Dame. Those will be some great games this weekend.
Rich, maybe before we let you go, remind our listeners how they can stay up to date with you and follow you on social media.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook and I'm on Twitter, probably more on Twitter now than Facebook, but you can reach me. It's just Richmond Webb, just my name, nothing, no underscore, nothing like that, just Richmond Webb. And you can follow me on Twitter or Facebook, but Twitter's probably about better.
Well, Richmond, we have so much respect for you and always enjoy the times when you're a part of the show. We can't thank you enough for coming back. It's for a 12th time. We're already looking forward to number 13. We want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and happy holiday season. And sure to stay safe out there.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Chris and Bob. Thank you very much. You know, I love coming on the show. I appreciate the tweets. Y'all always show me love, and glad to be included in that group of people that, you know, y'all always recommend follows, and I definitely appreciate that. So thank you. And I look forward to the next time. So I'm not keeping count. It doesn't matter. So when y'all ready for me, y'all just let me know.
We appreciate you very much. Take care, Richmond. Okay. Stay safe. We'll catch up soon.
Talk soon.
Okay.
See you,
take care.
That's a great Richmond Webb. We've got our next guest, Tony Collins, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Tony and our 5-star picks of the week.